Are you worried for the Northern Ireland economy?
I'm worried for the economy of the entire island and these islands.
But let's talk about... Tell me how you think it's going to affect lives here.
Well, let me put it in this context. It's already affecting lives here because when families go to fill up their car, whether diesel or petrol, it's going to cost them, and it is costing them, an average of £30 more a month. A family now who's on oil heating is costing anywhere between £30 and £50 more than it would have before the June referendum. The price of your family shop is going up week on week, and that will continue going into the future. So while we have, some people, I have no doubt, are sitting back and saying, oh, there's those politicians again arguing about Brexit, about Europe. That has nothing to do with us. Every time you go to your daily shop, your fuel, your car, all those price rises you see rattling up in front of you are a direct implication of what has happened over this last number of months.
So there you have it. Finally, Gregory Campbell, a direct implication of your party going against the will of the people in Northern Ireland. You're costing them money.
Well, you see, I think it was about three years ago, the price of fuel was about £1.40 a litre. That wasn't down to Brexit. That was down to both currency fluctuations and the oil price per barrel. So that's a nonsense what John O'Dowd is talking about. And, of course, I notice he doesn't mention the tens of thousands of people that are flocking over from the Irish Republic to engage in retailing on our side of the border, where it's being reported now. Yesterday I heard almost 30% increase in retailing directly as a result of the reduction of the pound. Our exports are up. We need to build on the opportunities that this offers. We need to get stability, so we need to get the Supreme Court ruling out of the way. If it has to come before Parliament, then let's do that and get on with it, maximise the opportunities, and let's build for a better future outside the EU as a free, sovereign...
And if it comes before Parliament, you will vote against the will of the people of Northern Ireland?
I will vote to implement the will of the people at the referendum.
Fred and Tremor. Morning, Fred.
Hello, how are you?
Go ahead.
You made a comparison earlier when you were speaking with the two gentlemen there about Westminster. But Westminster, they have an official opposition we don't have. This is supposed to be joint authority here.
Well, we do have an opposition.
Pardon?
We do have an opposition.
Well, it's very weak and hardly noticeable. It's not even recognised as yet. But I mean, one's wanting one star, one's wanting another. We hear all this thing about Brexit. Let those who want to stay in Europe stay in Europe. All they have to do is take a one-hour drive to the south and they'll be in Europe. Just 2 weeks ago, I was with a business friend in the Republic of Ireland. And the only people in the island of Ireland that are worried about Brexit are the people in the Republic of Ireland. We heard John O'Dowd mention agriculture. Yes, that's very true. But if the people, he mentioned prices of things going up down in the Republic, we found out that, excuse me, a loaf of bread and 2 litres of milk cost almost £3. In our money. And that here, you could buy that here for £2.
Okay.
So that is food is 50% dear down in the south. They talk about all this money coming from Britain, from Europe. It's not European money at all. It's our own money sent away and devalued and sent back again.
Okay. Fred, thank you very much indeed. Morning to you. 030-3080-5555. Loads of you wanting to speak to us this morning. Tom Elliott from the Ulster Unionist Party. Morning to you, Tom.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning, good morning. Well, you have your own Brexit vision document drawn up, don't you, on all of this?
Well, we do, Stephen, but I think yesterday's court decision was about something different. Our Brexit document is obviously what we want to see in negotiations and going forward from Brexit and what the outcome will be. Yesterday's court decision was different in that it said Parliament must rule on whether we trigger Article 50 or not. It's quite interesting that those campaigners, certainly the ones that I have heard, who were behind yesterday's court challenge, are indicating we don't want to go against the will of the people. This is just about the parliamentary recognition. And if that's all it's about, then it seems to be more a delaying tactic than anything, because if you're not going to go against the will of the people, then probably Parliament needs to get on with the process of Brexit. And then the massive issue is what deal we can get out of the European Union and what deal will eventually come back to the people.
Just remind me, Tom, were you a Brexiter or a Remainer?
Yeah, I suppose I was softly on the side of coming out of the European Union.
Softly on the side?
I didn't like either of the two campaigns, either the Leave or the Remain campaign. I thought there's a lot of innuendo there, a lot of difficult issues that I felt were couldn't be matched and couldn't be lived up to. But you know, so I made my decision on how I seen the European Union develop over the last number of years. And like,
I keep coming back to what I said at the start, though. Is it not for an MP? Is it for an MP to vote in what they believe in when this goes to Parliament? Is it for an MP to vote for what their constituents have said they believe in? Or is it for an MP to vote on what the referendum decided?
Absolutely.
Which is it?
Absolutely, Stephen.
But which do you think it should be?
That's a major issue. Well, I believe that we should follow the will of the people of the United Kingdom, that the way they voted. That's my belief. And others will take a different opinion. And I accept
that. So in other words, an MP who is a Remainer should vote against their own judgment?
Well, yes. And I've heard people actually say that. I've heard MPs say that. I've heard people.
Is that what you're suggesting they should do?
Yes, because it's the will of the people. I voted against the Belfast Agreement many years ago, but it was the will of the people, so it had to be progressed.
But the will of the people is not implemented in other times in our society. I used the example with Gregory Campbell this morning. You know, it's clear that this country uses petitions of concern when it's in the party's interest to do so, as opposed to the will of the people. So this is all over the place in terms of consistency.
Yeah, but I think, Stephen, I'm not defending the petition of concern by any means. I wouldn't do that. But I don't think there's ever been a referendum that has went to the people of Northern Ireland that a petition of concern has been used for then. So I think we are in a different situation. Like this is a referendum. The UK Parliament actually give the right for the people to have that say, to go to referendum. And I think it would be unwise for them to now go against that will of the majority of the people.
Can I just ask, in terms of what will happen when we leave Europe, this Brexit vision that your party has drawn up, you've drawn it up without the SDLP's involvement, right?
Yes, that's right, Stephen. Yeah, it's not the unionist document.
Its proposals include tripling infrastructure spending in Northern Ireland. How would that be funded?
Well, clearly there are mechanisms that there will be a budget within the United Kingdom Parliament that they will have that will not go to the European Union. So they will have to devise how that budget is then.
But we wouldn't be assured to get those funds, would we?
How that is delivered down to the devolved institutions.
But we've no entitlement to those funds, Tom, do we?
Sorry, Stephen?
We've no entitlement to those funds.
No, we have no entitlement but to them automatically, but through the Barnett formula, where there's additional money comes forward from the European Chancellor, then the devolved institutions would be entitled to them. Now, I'm not saying that will be at all, but clearly each devolved institution will be making their own bid, and that will be up to Northern Ireland Executive and the Northern Ireland Assembly to make that bid to the Chancellor to say, here's our proposals. We think these are good options. We want some support in funding them.
And just for me to confirm then your position, when you vote, you're going to vote against your judgment, are you? Because you feel that we should leave Europe, but you're going to vote which way?
No, I think, Stephen, we have made it clear that we would vote to support the will of the people, the majority of the people of the United Kingdom, and that is to trigger Article 50. And that's all that this is about at the moment,
okay,
is whether we trigger Article 50 or not.
So you will vote to back Article 50 in the Commons? The SDLP will vote against that, presumably.
That's right. I think they've indicated that, yes.
So what happened to vote Mike Colum?
Well, I think we need to be absolutely clear, Stephen, about what I think what you're trying to indicate here without saying it fully, Stephen, is that, you know, there is a joint opposition at the Northern Ireland Assembly with the SDLP and the Ulster Unionist Party. What we have is two parties in opposition, the SDLP and the Ulster Unionist Party.
So why did you say vote Mike Colum?
That doesn't mean that you do everything together. Just look at the Commons.
So vote Mike, you don't get Colum.
No, let me finish, Stephen, please. If you look at the two main opposition parties in Westminster, the Scottish Nationalist Party and the Labour Party, they don't have a joint opposition. What they are two parties in opposition doing largely their own thing. On some issues, they actually come together and and vote together, bring forward...
But on one of the biggest issues, Tom, facing the country, vote Mike, you don't get column. Who came up with that? And it doesn't stack up, does it?
Well, I don't know who came up with it, Stephen, but the point I'm making is you don't have to do everything jointly with the Ulster Unionists and the SDLP, and sometimes we'll be in different phrases. Just the way the government is the executive is at the moment. Sinn Féin and the DUP take a different line on Brexit, and they will be taking a different line on how they should vote on triggering Article 50. So I think we need to knock that on the head, just because we are both in opposition. It doesn't say you are joint opposition.
Mark Durkin listening to this. Morning, Mark.
Good morning, Stephen.
Mark Durkin, MP, obviously. So you're going to vote against. Where does this leave the country?
Well, first of all, the decision is in the court yesterday was about who should be determining the exact trigger point for Article 50. And the court decided that rather than that lying with the royal prerogative powers in the hands of the Prime Minister, that there should be a parliamentary say, and that was exactly right. I don't believe that that means that Parliament is going to vote against any attempt to trigger Article 50, because it's quite clear that lots and lots of MPs, particularly Tories and Labour, are saying they are interested in the terms and the timing and the detail of Article 50, but they are not going to use any parliamentary vote to say, no, there should never be the triggering of Article 50 or anything else. So there's been a very exaggerated reaction to the court decision yesterday, and of course that's a decision that is still going to be appealed. There's still politics to play in this. The Prime Minister will be able to devise various forms and options in terms of parliamentary votes that would probably meet the terms of the decision yesterday, no matter what happens in terms of the appeal. So there has been an awful lot of lather and bother and blether created around yesterday's decision. If people look to what it actually means, it is simply saying that when it comes to the tactics, the details, the terms and the timing, yeah, that shouldn't just be left in the hands of a Prime Minister who wasn't elected by anybody, not even her own party members got a choice to elect this Prime Minister. And remember, if you say these are things that should be left in the hands of the Prime Minister, should be left to the personal tactics, just remember it was David Cameron's personal tactics that created the situation of the referendum, the terms and the timing of the referendum, with all of the difficulties that created. So yes, there is a role for Parliament.
The bottom line is you're not going to be able to stop Brexit happening.
Well, I am not pretending that we can. When did I pretend we could? What I have said to people and what the SDLP were making clear to people was that once a referendum was called, people had the power to do that in terms of the vote. That's why we went to the bother of registering in the referendum campaign, the campaign against Brexit. That's why we went and knocked doors and did our canvasses and all the rest in the referendum. We did that. There's other people who are now talking about the dangers of Brexit who didn't actually do any of that. So let's be clear. And when it comes to Parliament's role, we have equally been clear that we will be standing by how we stood in relation to the referendum. We'll be standing by how the constituents in the three constituencies that we represent voted. And we will be standing by how the people of Northern Ireland voted. And it's great to hear, you know, Tom and other people saying they're standing by how the people voted and how the people voted. The SDLP will be standing by the wishes of the majority of people in Northern Ireland, standing by the wishes of our constituents. No other party is actually saying that. No other party in Northern Ireland.
You want to respond to that, Tom?
Well, quite clearly, it was a vote of the United Kingdom, Stephen. The people of the United Kingdom voted clearly against, I suppose, to be fair, what a lot of people thought would happen. That's how they voted. You have to respect that democratic wish, because it was Parliament. Keep saying it was Parliament that gave them that opportunity to do that. It was then put it into the hands of the people of the United Kingdom. So I believe it would be unwise.
But why is your loyalty not more to the people of Northern Ireland?
Well, it was a United Kingdom vote. It was the people of the United Kingdom.
That's not the question. Why is your loyalty not more to the people of Northern Ireland?
Because it's a United Kingdom Parliament and it was a United Kingdom vote, Stephen. It's as simple as that. It has. The people have spoken. And I have to say, even the campaigners yesterday that I listened to who brought about this court judgment are even saying, we don't want to stop the will of the people. All we want to do is make sure that the proper process has gone through. And if that's all it's about, then why don't we get on with that and go through the process?
Okay, Tom and Mark, thank you very much. Sean and Enniskillen. Morning, Sean.
Morning, Stephen. How are
go
you?
Ahead, Sean.
You've already touched on what I was going to say anyway. But we hear...
Which
so
is
much
what? Sorry, go
morning,
ahead.
The yeah. will of the people, the will of the people, the will of the people. All our politicians are talking about the will of the people. Yet, how many times has Sinn Féin and the DUP used petitions of concern to frustrate the will of the people? The royal prerogative has been used here, again to frustrate the will of the people. So I can't understand as well why Sinn Féin can't go over to Westminster for a vote. Vote on the topic.
Well, they will say that they stand very clearly when they stand for election on the principle that they will not do that.
Well, that is a principle they're standing on. But the principle that's been spoken about at the moment is greater than that principle. They say it is in the total interest of Northern Ireland and the people in Northern Ireland that we stay in the EU. The people of Northern Ireland, the will of their electorate is that they do what the electorate want. Now, if they're going to do what the electorate want, they're throwing away one of the major tools that the electorate have given them, and that's a voice in Parliament.
Sean,
the Parliament that's going to make the decision.
Sean, thank you. Liam in Draperstown. Morning, Liam.
Oh, Stephen, I think people are realising now that they don't know what they voted for. They're reconsidering. You had two...
Well, that's patronising to all those people who voted to leave, isn't it?
Even the discussions in your programme, Stephen, there, nobody really knows what's going to happen. The Treasury and the London School of Economics says ordinary people are going to be worse off by thousands of pounds. And maybe if the courts had been involved before Britain went to war, Britain wouldn't have been sending soldiers, as the Chilcot report revealed, to die in vehicles that weren't...
Well, Parliament was involved before we went to war, of course.
Oh, well, it's still a fact that Britain sent soldiers to their deaths because it was too expensive to armour the vehicles, you know, and that was revealed in the Chilcot report. But I honestly think that people haven't realised what they have voted for, and that has come out in your programme in a number of discussions.
Liam, thank you. Stephen Farry from the Alliance Party. Morning, Stephen.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning. So where does this leave us?
Well, it leaves us with the government having to spell out now what they mean in terms of Brexit and what their negotiating position is going to be. I mean, triggering Article 50 is equivalent of jumping off a cliff, and we don't know the final destination, but it is going to be a very hard landing for the UK and, in particular, for Northern Ireland. So this now ensures that there will have to be proper parliamentary scrutiny and indeed potentially assembly scrutiny over what the government actually has in mind, and people need to make their judgment based upon that.
Sure, I'm just thinking, imagine if there is a snap election. What's going to happen then in terms of, if we look at our local base here in Northern Ireland, are unionist PACs going to come back? Because Mike Nesbitt hasn't ruled those out, of course, so will he be dumping some of his SDLP, get Colm, get Mike and all this malarkey, and will he be jumping into bed with the DUP again?
Well, there's certainly been mixed messages in that regard.
Get Mike, get Arlene, the new slogan would be.
And PACs have not been ruled out, and obviously Naomi Long last year was the subject to one of those PACs. So we will see, but clearly if there is a snap election, the issue of Brexit will be at the forefront of that, and it does affect literally everyone's lives.
Would you like Gregory Campbell, do you think an election would be the way to sort this, possibly?
Potentially, yes, and it gives a chance for greater clarity around where the government wants to go in this regard. But it's not essential. I mean, this can be done through Parliament in terms of the MPs that are currently there. The key issue is ensuring that there's proper transparency and accountability and that there's a proper understanding as to where this is going, because people may have voted in the referendum to leave the European Union, but that means a whole range of different issues. The issue, for example, around the single market.
Do you agree with Martin McGuinness that this is potentially bigger than the peace process?
This is a massive issue, and in fact, actually, it has the potential to impact upon the political process in Northern Ireland. I wouldn't say that we're going to see a return to violence, but it will unpick the progress we have made. See, one of the critical issues of the agreement is that it allows people to work on a north-south basis, east-west basis, almost on a par. So people's identity can be respected, and they can all work in terms of a shared Northern Ireland, making that work.
Okay.
What this does is throw the constitutional question back down on the table, potentially, and polarises people.
Okay.
And that's very, very counterproductive from where we've actually moved over the past 20 years.
Stephen, nice to talk to you today. Thank you very much indeed.